Welcome to another episode of Systematic Geekology. This is a space where we seek to create and cultivate healthy conversations between those things we geek out on and the philosophical and theological questions that often arise out of our fandoms. Like, what does it mean to be human? What makes a hero? What makes a villain? How do the stories and narratives we geek out on shape how we live in the world? We are your priest to the geeks. We aren't all ordained, but we see ourselves as mediators at the intersection of geek culture and going deeper in our faith. We don't always have to agree, but we do respect each other, and we see everyone as a beloved child of God. Everyone geeks out on something, so come geek out with us and enjoy the show.
You're listening to an Anazal Ministries podcast.
What helps the medicine go down? We are going to discuss that today in the drive-in series. TJ, explain to us which series we're in with our drive-ins.
We're going decade by decade and choosing a movie that was a huge success. And today we chose Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins. And in case you guys didn't know, because I was not aware of this, but Mary Poppins was created by an Australian-born British writer, P.L. Travers, and it's a book series. So the title Mary Poppins was published in 1934. It includes eight books between 1934 and 1988, featuring the magical nanny Mary Poppins and the adventures with the bank children. But of course, as TJ mentioned, we are going to be talking about the movie in the 1960s. So if you guys are interested in this series or any other series, make sure you check it out in the show notes. I am here today with, you've already heard him, the one and only TJ, everyone's favorite podcaster for some reason. I don't know why, but the title just belongs to him and it fits and it will never leave. As well as the beautiful Pokemon friend of mine, Barb. How's it going, guys?
It's going good.
And Barb, you actually picked this movie. So our only thing was like we had to stay in the 1960s. So tell us a little bit about your relationship with Mary Poppins and why you picked it. You can tell the truth to the fans. You know what I mean? The
listeners. I mean, I just grew up with Mary Poppins. I read some of the books, not all of them, when I was younger. I've always been, you know, into Disney. And then it has two of my favorite actors in it. Of course, Julie Andrews and Dick Van Dyke. So it's just an overall win for me.
I thought you were going to be like, I Googled 1960s because that's what you said.
I Googled it, yeah. I Googled it and picked one.
But it was a great pick. It worked out in our favor.
Well, because I was looking up the different movies and I had a feeling, you know, Mary Poppins was in the era, but I wasn't sure exactly what year it came out. When I saw it was like 1964, I believe, I was like, perfect. Everyone's at least probably seen Mary Poppins at least, you know, once in their life.
I would hope so.
That, which is, honestly, it's kind of crazy because when I heard that, I was like, is it really that old? But I don't think 70s is that old. But like the distinction between 60s and 70s to me is crazy. Like 60s just seems so much longer ago to me.
It's what, like 50 years, right?
Yeah. So 70s would be like 50. Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. So,
I mean, I feel like if my grandparents were alive during that time, even if they were just young, that can't be that old because it's still generations. Granted, all my grandparents are dead, but if they could be. Sorry.
Yeah, my dad was born the year Mary Poppins came out, so.
Okay. Very cool. So we're just going to jump right in. But let's pretend we are back in the 1960s. Do they have drive-ins then?
Maybe.
Maybe a couple.
I don't know. Okay, we're going way back. And we're just seeing this for the first time. What do you think your first reaction would be if you saw this movie, I guess, in the 1960s, or pretend like it was the day you're seeing it for the very first time, if it wasn't iconic?
In the 60s? You're like, wow, how do they do that?
Yeah, how does she fly?
Like, how do they do any of that? Infinite bag, she can fly. How'd that dude fit in the chimney?
I was thinking more of like the watercolor scene with the like the penguins when they're doing the carousel. That's a lot of really interesting special effects.
Yeah.
Like, that's true. I didn't pay attention to that.
Effects-wise, this movie is insane to come out in the 60s. And it all looks so good. It still holds up, in my opinion.
Yeah. I'm trying. Okay, I'm going to be honest. This is not my favorite movie, but I don't hate it. I just don't have a desire to watch it probably for the rest of my life. Is that bad?
That kind of sounds like you hate it.
No, I don't hate it. But I'm just saying, like, if I never saw the movie again, you know what I mean? I'm okay. Like, I'm okay with seeing it in the past and being, like, good to go. But we're supposed to be talking about... Well, it's supposed to be talking about why listeners should watch it. So let's ignore me.
That is interesting. That's an interesting topic, though.
But I'm just saying,
I forgot about it. You want to see again before you die.
True. That is a good point. But I mean, I didn't hate it. And if I went over to a friend's house and like, let's watch Mary Poppins, I would enjoy it. I guess I just don't want to rewatch it.
I mean, that's fair enough, but it does still kind of sound like you hate it. I don't know.
I don't hate it.
Aang is just the greatest hater on the show.
No, I'm not. I love the spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. And I love the cleanup scene whenever, like, she snapped the fingers and everything, like, just went back into its place.
Oh, right, yeah.
Like, it's, what was the quote? Like, to have there's always a bit of fun in the mundane or something like that. It's not the quote at all, but that's the theme.
Yeah, but... If this was the first time I had seen this and it was 1964, I would be blown away.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was magic. All of that was real magic. They just filmed it.
Do you think because it was ahead of its time, this is what makes it iconic because it made people remember it?
No, absolutely.
Yeah, I feel like it's not even just that. I feel like it just captured such a magical feeling. Like watching Mary Poppins, it is so filled with whimsy. You can't not have a good time while you're watching it.
Unless you're me, I guess.
Unless you're paying.
but most people aren't.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
I tried. I was like, you know, I'm vibing with it. I might rewatch it before I die now, just because we are making me revisit my wrong thought process.
Yeah, it's good.
But yeah. And I remember, because we all know how I love. I remember wanting Mary Poppins and the Chimney Sweeper wanting, you know, like they should be a couple.
Yeah. Well, also
they were.
Were they?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I do also love Dick Van Dyke. Dick Van Dyke is so funny. It's like he's like proto Jim Carrey, like physical comedy. He's like the master, the old master.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I guess like the major themes in this movie would be family and relationships, because the parents are always gone. And I think in the 1960s, it was more common to have a nanny in the house than it kind of is today. Because I think like how the Brady Bunch, they had the live-in nanny, and like just a lot of even the sitcoms back in that time, they all had either a butler or a nanny or whatnot. So it's that tension of family and relationship, because this was what, like the fifth nanny they went through. Like they went through a lot.
Yeah.
Because a nanny becomes a part of the family and the kids would just be
new terrorizer. Yeah.
And they just wanted to have kids, you know, fun. Like the parents wanted them to be little adults, and that's not, I mean, Barb, you're the only one with kids. So how does that work? Trying to have your kids act like adults.
I feel like back in the day, it's kind of like their version of the nuclear family, because it's also set in England. It's not set in America. Like the American nuclear family is like, you know, mom, dad, usually it's like an older boy, younger girl, and then kids act like kids. But it also has to do with like Mr. Banks's job is higher up in society as well. If the kids act badly, it's going to reflect upon him, and then he may lose his job or something like that. So he's always strict on the kids, and then the mom is not quite your stereotypical mom either. She's really big into like the women's rights at the time, so it's like she's not at home doing motherly and wifely duties. So it's like it's definitely unique.
Gosh, I wish every day. I'm so thankful for the society and how far women has come.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to stay at home and bake pies, though. Why can't we go back? But it's fine. Yeah. And I remember too, like, I forgot he was so well known, because at the beginning, when that job was open again, there was lots of nannies trying to get into this like position. And then Mary Poppins just was like, oh, goodbye, everyone. So Barb, reading the books, what did Mary Poppins come from? Like, she just vanished out of thin air?
She's supposed to appear when there is need of her. per se. So it's like she has like this innate knowledge of knowing when there's like a family who needs her, and usually it's like a broken family who needs basically to like remember what it's like to be a family again, like a normal family.
Okay. Like and a fairy godmother in nanny form.
Yeah, basically like a fairy godmother almost. Because she, like when you see in the beginning of the movie, like she has the list that Mr. Banks tore up and it's like magically glued back together. And then it's like she's reading off everything that the kids want in a nanny, not everything that he wants, basically in like a
teacher instructor type
militaristic style instructor or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's like what the kids need, not what he wants.
And TJ, do you remember like how many the last time you watched this movie? I feel like Barb probably has seen it the most recent from us with having kiddos.
Probably.
Because she raises them in the right way they should go. Good job, Barb. We thank you for raising the next generation.
I think it's been at least 7 years.
7 years.
Which is a long time for me. Cause,
Yeah, I can't even it's probably been at least a decade for me. But I remember it so vividly, which kind of gives the attest to what great of a movie it is, because it stuck with me, even though it's been at least 10 years since I've seen it. Like, I remember the penguin scene and, like, the carousel and it stuck with me when they would, like, draw the chalk thing and they got to step into the painting, because I'm sure I did that. I tried to imitate that as a kid, drawing something and stepping into a painting or trying to find that whimsy that you guys are talking about. So, I mean, I will watch it when I have kids.
It is really good. I feel the same way. Like, I didn't feel like I needed to rewatch it to talk about it, which is a good thing, because I consume a lot of content. I do it pretty fast, so a lot of things don't stick.
Do you think if a child would watch it today, they would appreciate it as much, because they have so much technological advancements, you know? So that scene where the watercolors and the effects, it won't wow them like it did us back in the day.
See, by the time I had seen this, we were, you know, it was already like post Jurassic Park, Alien versus Predator, Transformers. Like, to me, these things are all movie magic, but Mary Poppins still captures that so much whimsy, and it just feels real and magical still. So I think so.
And this is probably just me being a type A person. Mm-hmm. I love the theme of just finding joy in like the mundane tasks. And so it didn't go all the way to the left field. Like they were saying about a nanny must be fun, must be caring. She also taught them structure as well. Mm-hmm. So it was a good balance, I feel like, because they still had that song, A Spoonful of Sugar Helps the Medicine Go Down. And like kind of just doing the cleaning scene that I was talking about, finding that joy in the mundane task and making them into proper humans, because we can all agree we're not getting a lot of proper humans in today's society.
It's what my teacher friends say.
Dude, that's why I left teaching. I couldn't do it anymore. There's no proper humans.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons why we pulled Jenna out from school too.
Crazy world.
And is everything just gets handed to people nowadays? And so I feel maybe the whole world should just have a reset and watch Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins Day.
Mary Poppins Day would be pretty cool. I don't know. I feel like this next Olympics might help reset some people. I don't know. That's just a feeling.
I heard they have 3-on-3 basketball now in the Olympics, and I don't know how I feel about that.
Really?
It's cool, man. Mm-hmm. There should be more sports in the Olympics.
But I feel like if you already get a league, you shouldn't go into the Olympics. You know what I mean? Like, you already get a basketball league.
What do you mean?
How come, like, okay, well, this is off topic that we have to talk about.
You mean like 5v5 is already in the Olympics?
No, I'm just saying like basketball to me is not an Olympic sport.
You're wrong.
I'm saying
it's a summer sport, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like the Summer Olympics? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just don't get it.
No, I mean, skateboarding is a Summer Olympic sport.
I think they have breakdancing now too is an Olympic sport.
That one's harder for me. I don't think the Olympics are a place for like judging necessarily, but you know, like snowboarding already has existed in the Olympics for a long time, and you know, skateboarding recently and surfing. So like there is precedent, but I think people just don't view breakdancing with the legitimacy of more physical sports. But this episode is not about the Olympics. This is about Mary Poppins. I always thought Mary Poppins really embodied something that I like to live by, which is enjoying what you do no matter what it is. And like, you know, I'm doing this, I'm devoted to this right now. This is all that matters to me right now. So you enjoy it. It's important. And perfect example is Dick Van Dyke, Chim Chimmery.
Chim Chimmery. That was one of my favorite scenes. Yeah. When they were on the roof.
Having a great time.
And what's the step in time with his pals. Yeah.
Well, and when you watch it, you don't think how a chimney sweeper is a lower class job. Because they didn't present it in a negative way or a lower society status type of job, like a nanny would, since it was like a higher class. And I just loved how they didn't let occupation titles change anything, which is really good. If I were to rate this show just off of my memory, I would still probably give it like a 7, which I know it's probably low for you guys.
It's low.
I know, but it's high for me. But with the fact that I have no desire to rewatch it, I can't grade it higher than a 7. I know, your turn.
I think I would go with a 9.
A 9?
It's definitely, only because it has good memories for me. I love the actors. And then, I mean, I was born in 1990. So I've watched it many, many times over the years. And then rewatching it again with my kids is like creating new memories with old friends, you know? So it's like, for me, it has, even though it's not my favorite Disney movie, it just has a lot of aspects to it that really wows me, you know, especially as a writer, where it's like, I can even go off the books too, but the movie itself, like the script writing was really good, I think too.
Yeah. Did anybody, 8.5, fantastic movie, Pangas Crazy.
I know.
Did anybody see Mary Poppins Returns?
I started it.
I did. Yeah.
Did you watch it?
I thought they did good with it. Yeah.
I heard it was good, but this is why I had to stop watching it. So this is probably TMI, not TMI, but so my sister just passed away. And so I was looking for something happy to watch. And I quickly found out the beginning.
It's not quite as happy as you would think.
Yep. And so I turned it off because I was not in the
deeper movie, but it's still pretty good.
And so it's still like, I want to watch it one day, but then it was, and that was like about 5 years ago. So I'm kind of like, I'm still a little salty with it because it's not the movie's fault, but I was like, I was looking to be cheered
up. The memories you have with it. That it's, you know.
So I don't know if I'll ever rewatch it. Maybe one day, but I chuckle at it now. And so, of course, I turned on anime because anime never betrays me.
So it's a remake, right?
Yes.
It's not a remake.
Is it a sequel?
It is an actual sequel, yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Norm, tell us a little bit about it.
Well, yeah, the concept of it is like the children are grown now. And then it was Jane and Michael. Michael's wife had just passed. And so he inherited the house, the Banks house. And Mary Poppins returns to help nanny his children.
Isn't that so sweet?
Mm-hmm. And then they go on their adventures. But both of the other children are still there. There's a little romantic interest between the now grown daughter and someone. So it's like not a big happy family, but it has some sadness to it as well. But Dick Van Dyke is also in it. So.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Yeah. He made a return.
Rest in peace. Dick Van Dyke Show, 10. 10 out of 10. Hilarious. So good.
So with Mary Poppins Return, did that coordinate with the books as well?
Like I said, I only read a few of the books, so I don't remember if it coordinated with them, like, you know, the Narnia movies tried to do with the books, but that does make me want to go back and read the ones that I haven't read, you know, just, I don't know when I'm going to find the time.
Are they long? Are they like young
adults?
They're
not any longer than like the Narnia books, I don't think.
Oh,
from what I remember. Because the Narnia books aren't that long.
Go read.
I think there's like 6 or 7 of them, but they're not long in each individual sense.
Yeah, I'm going to read those actually. I didn't even know they were books.
Oh, yeah, I taught TJ something. I feel like Mary Poppins,
yeah. A lot of older movies are based on books. There's actually a movie based on Walt Disney trying to create the Mary Poppins movie. Where it's like the history behind creating the Mary Poppins movie, and he's having to talk to the writer and get all like in her head to try to create it in the way where it like honors her book.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. I haven't seen it, but I've, I think Tom Hanks plays Walt Disney. I think. Don't quote me on it, but it's like, I'm trying to remember
quoting who right now. It.
That's crazy.
So what would your, what's your go-to snack or beverage that you're bringing with you to the drive-in?
Butter popcorn and Pepsi. I can't do Coke. Pepsi tastes sweeter to me.
Interesting.
Pepsi is sweeter. Coke is too acidic.
That's why Coke is better. Am I wrong again?
If I have Coke, if Coke has no haters, then I'm probably dead. That's all I'm saying.
I don't get it.
Dr. Pepper is better.
Oh, my husband loves Dr. Pepper.
There's a certain taste to it where, like, I can't drink Dr. Pepper all the time, but it is nice, like, a nice change for me.
I think if I replaced my blood with Dr. Pepper, I wouldn't notice that much.
So what's the same with me and Pepsi, yeah.
What's your snack of choice, TJ? Sorry, Barb.
No, you're fine.
I really don't like snacks. Like, period. I don't like snacks.
Weird. But so you're choosing Dr. Pepper then for your beverage?
Yeah, no, every time I go to the movies, and now I kind of wish Josh was here because he can tell you, I will get popcorn if someone else doesn't want to buy popcorn because it's expensive, and then I'll just let them eat it. But the only thing that I get for me is large Pepsi because they usually don't have Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
My movie theater has Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, but can you get it in like a 90-ounce cup?
Maybe. I don't know. I always either get, when I go to the movies, I don't know why, I don't drink it any other time. I go for the root beer.
Our movie theaters have wine now.
That's fancy. Oh,
do you have one of those that there's like a restaurant in there and you can like order while you eat? I went to those.
Oh, there was one when I was growing up in Raleigh. It was called Raleighwood. And
I've been to Raleighwood.
Yes. We had birthday parties there growing up. It's like, I think it's closed now, but like, I remember that.
Yeah, there's one that was like, you had a menu at your seat in the theater.
That would be so annoying, people coming. I think we have one in like the Charleston area.
No, it's it's convenient enough. There's so much room between the seats.
They had tables in there. They had up at the front, they had like smaller tables, and then they had like the regular theater seats in the back. So it was like half restaurant, half theater.
Interesting.
It was really interesting.
Really cool concept.
Well,
if I do eat at a movie, that's the only context where I do.
I'd bring it back. I mean, it was a lot of fun.
I have no desire to watch it.
That's what I get.
Let's see, I always get, I'm going to be honest, guys. I'm a little unethical. I sneak in my snacks. So I know. Shocker. Don't report me, please.
Systematic Ecology does not condone this.
So I have this hoodie that has like a little kangaroo pouch, and so I'll get the 5-pound bag of Twizzlers.
Specifically
5 pounds. I don't know why I love that plastic stuff. And I'll put it in the hoodie, and it looks like a perfect baby bump when I do
when
this.
I was in college, I used to sneak snacks in, but I always wore like a satchel bag like for my purse, and then I would just put tampons on top of it. So people wouldn't even look below it.
Yeah, they don't really check nowadays too, but I think it's a little bit of the thrill of like me just like kind of like coming in, having my little baby Twizzler bump. But I also buy popcorn and soda there too. So I do like, you know, yeah, I bought like my tickets, popcorn, I bought the stuff. But I don't want to spend $20 on the Twizzlers when I can spend $5 on the 5-pound thing. So yeah, so that's my movie of choice and my illegal practices.
I don't, it's not really feasible for me to sneak in my snack, but I do have like a 100-ounce trucker cup that if I had a way to sneak it into a movie, I would.
Wheels are turning of hell. I could have this happen.
Yeah, I think like a big premiere is really my only chance. Mm-hmm. Like for Dune, if I had like Dune 2, if I had like cosplayed and had like just put the cup on a cart and made it look like a sandworm.
We could do it.
I think I could have done that.
Awesome. Well, guys, if you enjoyed this episode, if you enjoyed listening to us on our favorite snacks, make sure you check out the other episodes in this drive-in and figure out what the other host's snacks are and what movies they chose. It's fun to see the different personalities come out with how the host picks their movie. I'm just going to go ahead and say that we have the best one because, I mean, what better trio do you have than us three right here. Come on. But thank you guys so much for checking us out. Remember, we are all a chosen people, a geekdom of priests. See you guys later.
Hey friends, this is your pal, Will Rose, and I have some exciting news. Systematic Geekology will return to Theology Beer Camp this year, October 17th through the 19th in Denver, Colorado. And we hope that you can join us. We are part of Theology Beer Camp in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, at my home church in my hometown. And that year, Theology Beer Camp was called the God Pods. And then we were in Missouri, a part of the Geek Stage. Yes, we had a whole entire Geek Stage where we had workshops and speakers and had incredible conversations. And Theology Beer Camp last year was called the God Pods Strike Back. So you kind of see where this is going. And so this year, the theme is the return of the God Pods. And so if you head over to Eventbrite and follow God Pods 2024, or hop over to Instagram, follow it there. And if you enter promo code Geekshire, you see what we did there? Yeah. Wilbo Baggins approves. If you enter Geekshire, all caps, no spaces, you will get $25 off your ticket price. Geekshire, all caps, no spaces, Geekshire. Yes, yeah, say it with me, Geekshire. Enter that, you get money off your ticket, and you can join us and hang out and drink beer and have great food. And even if you don't drink beer, you can have incredible food and beverages and conversations with your favorite host here at Systematic Geekology. The Geek Stage is growing. I'm proud of that, and we thank Trip for this opportunity. We hope to see you at Theology Beer Camp, the Return of the God Pods 2024.